Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Reading from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text number 11. Chapter 10, Vibhuti Yoga. Text 11. Tesham ivanukam partam.
Tesham ivanukam partam.
Aham agyanajam tama.
Aham agyanajam tama.
Nashayami atma bhavasto.
Nashayami atma bhavasto.
Jnanadipena bhashvata.
Jnanadipena bhashvata.
Tesham ivanukam partam.
Tesham ivanukam partam.
Agyanajam tamah.
Aham agyanajam tamah.
Nashayami atma bhavasto.
Nashayami atma bhavasto.
Jnanadipen bhashvata.
Jnanadipen bhashvata.
Jan, who knows another verse?
Teshami evanukam partam.
Teshami evanukam partam.
Jnanajam tamah.
Aham agyanajam tamah.
Nashayami atma bhavasto.
Nashayami atma bhavasto.
Jnanadipena bhashvata.
Jnanadipena bhashvata.
Tesham evanu anukampartam.
Tesham evanu anukampartam.
Aham agyanajam tamah.
Aham agyanajam tamah.
Nashayami atma bhavasto.
Nashayami atma bhavasto.
Jnanadipena bhashvata.
Jnanadipena bhashvata.
Yesham eva lokam pattam.
Yesham eva lokam pattam.
Aham ajnana jam tamha.
Aham ajnana jam tamha.
Nashayami atma bhavasto.
Nashayami atma bhavasto.
Jena jnana jnana bhasvada.
Jnana jnana bhasvada.
Tesham evanukam partam.
Tesham evanukam partam.
Aham ajnanajam tamah.
Aham ajnanajam tamah.
Nashayami atma bhavasto.
Nashayami atma bhavasto.
Jnanadipena bhashvata.
Jnanadipena bhashvata.
Tesham,
Tesham,
for them,
for them,
Eva,
Eva,
certainly,
certainly,
Anukampartam,
Anukampartam,
to show special mercy,
to show special mercy,
Aham,
Aham,
I,
I,
Agyanajam,
Agyanajam,
due to ignorance,
due to ignorance,
Tamaha,
Tamaha,
darkness,
darkness.
Nashayami,
Nashayami,
dispel,
dispel,
atma bhava,
atma bhava,
within their hearts,
within their hearts,
staha,
staha,
situated,
situated,
jnana,
jnana,
of knowledge,
of knowledge,
deepena,
deepena,
with the lamp,
with the lamp,
bhashvata,
bhashvata,
glowing,
glowing,
translation, to show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. You can repeat, to show them special mercy.
To show them special mercy.
I dwelling in their hearts,
dwelling in their hearts,
destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge.
Destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge.
The darkness born of ignorance.
The darkness born of ignorance.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Yes.
When Lord Chaitanya was in Benares promulgating the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, thousands of people were following him. Prakashananda Saraswati, a very influential and learned scholar in Benares at that time, derided Lord Chaitanya for being a sentimentalist. Sometimes philosophers criticize the devotees because they think that most of the devotees are in the darkness of ignorance and are philosophically naive sentimentalists. Actually, that is not the fact. There are very, very learned scholars who have put forward the philosophy of devotion. But even if a devotee does not take advantage of their literatures or of his spiritual master, if he is sincere in his devotional service, he is helped by Krishna himself within his heart. So the sincere devotee engaged in Krishna consciousness cannot be without knowledge. The only qualification is that one carry out devotional service in full Krishna consciousness. The modern philosophers think that without discrimination, one cannot have pure knowledge. For them, this answer is given by the Lord. Those who are engaged in pure devotional service, even though they be without sufficient education and without sufficient knowledge of the Vedic principles, are still helped by the Lord, as stated in this verse. The Lord tells Arjuna that basically there is no possibility of understanding the Supreme Truth, the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, simply by speculating. For the Supreme Truth is so great that it is not possible to understand Him or to achieve Him simply by making a mental effort. Man can go on speculating for several millions of years, and if he is not devoted, if he is not a lover of the Supreme Truth, he will never understand Krishna or the Supreme Truth. Only by devotional service is the Supreme Truth Krishna pleased, and by His inconceivable energy He can reveal Himself to the heart of the pure devotee. The pure devotee always has Krishna within his heart, and with the presence of Krishna, who is just like the sun, the darkness of ignorance is at once dissipated. This is the special mercy rendered to the pure devotee by Krishna. Due to the contamination of material association, through many, many millions of births, one's heart is always covered with the dust of materialism. But when one engages in devotional service and constantly chants Hare Krishna, the dust quickly clears and one is elevated to the platform of pure knowledge. The ultimate goal, Vishnu, can be attained only by this chant and by devotional service, and not by mental speculation or argument. The pure devotee does not have to worry about the material necessities of life. He need not be anxious, because when he removes the darkness from his heart, everything is provided automatically by the Supreme Lord, who is pleased by the loving devotional service of the devotee. This is the essence of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. By studying Bhagavad Gita, one can become a soul completely surrender to the Lord and engage himself in pure devotional service. As the Lord takes charge, one becomes completely free from all kinds of materialistic endeavors. Translation again. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So that verse is from the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna, at the end of the 6th chapter, had described that of all yogis, the highest yogi is the one who is absorbed in thinking of him. Yogi namapi sarvesham margate nantaratmanam shradhavam bhajate yomam same yutatamo mata. The first 6 chapters, Lord Krishna is describing the yoga ladder. He explains karma kand, then karma yoga, jnana yoga, and bhakti yoga. So he explains that bhakti yoga is the perfection of the yoga. The goal of all the other yogas is to become devotee. Karma yoga is to satisfy some material desires, and that will bring one to have more faith in the Lord. Jnana yoga, the goal of all yoga, is that we will surrender to the Lord. And so all of these other yoga systems, they're all meant, these yoga paths, they're meant to bring us to the yoga of devotion. Then, after explaining that bhakti yoga is the highest yoga, then in the 7th chapter, Lord Krishna goes on to give knowledge about himself. Because he said the highest yogi is the one who's always thinking of him. So if you have to think about Krishna, you know, you have to know something about him. Who is Krishna? What does he look like? What are his activities? Why is he Bhagavan? What are his energies? These different things, you see. We can't just only, oh, think of Krishna. Yeah, he plays the flute. He's very nice. But we have to know about Krishna. So Krishna has come to speak Bhagavad Gita, to tell all of us about his glory, so we can understand him. Prabhupada is explaining here, very hard to understand Krishna by our mind. If we just use the mind to think of Krishna, to think about Krishna, very hard, you'll never understand Krishna. Why? Because Krishna is unlimited. We are limited. The unlimited, you know, if we're limited, we cannot understand what is unlimited. So Krishna is beyond the mind, beyond the senses. So how can we understand him? Not by our efforts, but Krishna has to reveal himself to us. So he comes, he speaks the Bhagavad Gita, we can know about him. He's explaining about his own self, about his energies, his antaranga shakti, bahiranga shakti, tatastha shakti, different energies which he has, the external, internal, marginal energy. He's explaining about all the different elements of the external energy, you know, the earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, ego. This is all Krishna's energy. But then he says, besides this, there's another energy, the living entity. We are all this tatastha shakti, the marginal potency, the jivas. So we're Krishna's energy also. We're not Krishna, but we're part of Krishna. Right? We say part and parcel. We have some of the qualities of Krishna, but not all of them. And not in the same quantity. So we're not equal to God, but we're a tiny part of God. We have a relationship with Him. So Lord Chaitanya came to teach this. What the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya is known as Achintya, Abheda, Tattva. Right? Simultaneous, inconceivable. Achintya, inconceivable. Simultaneous. At the same time, one and different. We're one with God. We're God's energy. We're one with Him. But we're different from Him. We're not equal to Him. Just like a ray of light coming from the sun. The ray of light is not equal to the sun. Or a spark comes from the fire. The spark is not equal to the fire. So the same way, the living entity, we are all jivas. We're not equal to God. Right? But we have relationship with Him. So 500 years ago, Prabhupada explains here, Lord Chaitanya was chanting the holy name in Banaras. Have you been to Banaras? Anybody been here to Banaras? From here? You been to Banaras? So, are there a lot of Vaishnavas there? Huh? Vaishnavas?
No, Shivites.
Yeah, Shivites, right. This is a place of Shivites. Not many Vaishnavas there. Lord Chaitanya was merciful to go there. We usually, we Vaishnavas won't want to go there. But Mayavadi sannyasis are there. Shankaracharya's followers, his people may be there. So, Lord Chaitanya was there, he was chanting, dancing, and they said, sentimental. They accused, they were, the Mayavadi sannyasis were saying, this Chaitanya, he is a magician. He's got some magic powers. Be careful of him. Don't go near him. He'll use some black magic, some tantra on you. That's how they were talking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They think like that, you know. When Prabhupada went to America and started preaching and young people were joining, they thought maybe he's got magic powers, you know. He's putting some spell on people. They used to accuse us like that. They said we're brainwashing people to make them devotees of Krishna. It must be brainwashing. Otherwise, why people would want to give up all their, you know, meat eating and everything else that they do just to chant Hare Krishna? We must be brainwashing them. So they said like that about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years ago. And then they said, well, at least he's a sentimentalist. Yeah, if he's, even if he's not, he's a sentimentalist, because he's doing this chanting and singing. This is just for sentimental people. They thought he can't know anything, doesn't have any knowledge. Just like when Prabhupada came and brought devotees to India in the beginning, they used to go and chant in Bombay. So then people complained. They said, this is just a nuisance. It's just disturbing. Yeah, they were complaining. But Prabhupada didn't tell us to stop. He said, send more devotees. He said, we'll put more people out chanting. He said, this is very bad. People are criticizing the chanting of the holy names of God. Very bad. He said, we have to preach more vigorously to them. Because Lord Chaitanya was chanting, he was not preaching much. He was just chanting the holy name. They thought this is sentimental. They did not understand that actually this is actually the highest spiritual activity, chanting Hare Krishna. Just like here you see this nice picture, Lord Chaitanya chanting the holy name, Sankirtan. You see, this is not some emotional or sentimental show, but this is the highest spiritual activity, you see. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya have parallel pastimes in Krishna Leela. Just like when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, he was leaving home, cutting his hair, all the devotees were crying, they didn't want him to go. In Krishna Leela, that pastime is compared to Krishna leaving Vrindavan. Just like when Akrura came to Vrindavan to take Krishna away. The gopis were trying to stop, you know, they were laying in front of the chariot and they were trying to hold the horses and saying, no, no, don't take Krishna away from Vrindavan. We want Krishna to stay in Vrindavan. So in the same way, when Lord Chaitanya was going to take sannyas, They were saying, no, no, don't cut his hair, please. You know, sometimes when a devotee, someone becomes a devotee, then the mother or father, they'll feel very, oh, our son had such nice hair. You know, and they feel very bad to see that they've cut all their hair. He had such nice hair. You know, if you go to Tirupati and they shave the head, you know, then sometimes the people cry, you know, the children all cry, you know, that, oh, my hair, my hair. So like that, sentimental, you see. But actually, so I was saying that pastime of Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas, that is the same as Krishna leaving Vrindavan, you see. The devotees were not sentimental, they were feeling separation. They did not want Lord Chaitanya to leave them. So in the same way, this Sankirtan, this parallel pastime in Krishna Leela, is Rasa Leela. Just like Rasa Leela. And Rasa Leela is the highest activity of Krishna in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan. It's the highest pastime. You know, we all aspire, maybe one day we will also be able to dance in the Rasa Leela with Krishna. Even Lord Shiva wants to see the Rasa Leela. So he took the form of the gopi. And he was able to, but Lakshmi, she couldn't. Lakshmi was not able to see Rasa Leela because she's got her queenly opulence. She could not give up her opulence to become a gopi. So she could never take part in that. But she's the Lord's wife. She's his associate. She's on his chest as a goldmine, but she couldn't take part in Rasa Leela. So Lord Chaitanya was teaching the Sankirtan movement because this is the Yuga Dharma, the process for this age. This is how we can get perfection in the Kali Yuga. In the Kali Yuga, it is said from the Narada Purana, Harinam, Harinam, Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva. There's no other way, no other way, no other way but to chant the holy name. They say again, they repeat three times, repetition for emphasis, to make it no other way, no other way, no other way. You know, make the point, you know, very clear. But you must chant the holy name. They say, not by karma, not by jnana, not by yoga, only by this harinam, chanting, yeah, the holy name, very powerful. So Lord Chaitanya was just chanting the holy name. He was happy, he was satisfied, spiritual bliss. But the other people, they could not understand. They thought, waste of time, this is sentimental, to just chant and dance. You know, why he does not study Vedanta? Vedanta philosophy, the Vedanta Sutra. You all know Vedanta, you've heard of Vedanta Sutra, huh? Everybody knows. It's the essence of the Vedas, written by Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva compiled Vedanta Sutra. But then he also explained Vedanta Sutra through the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Mayavadi sannyasis, from Shankaracharya on, you know, Shankaracharya, he established four mutts, right? The Bhadrik Ashram, and then Puri Ashram, Dwarka Ashram, and Sringiri. Sringiri in the south. He had these four mutts. Now there's many more, but original four, Adi Shankar had four temples. So his people, his followers, they all have to study Vedanta Sutra. And how do they study it? With more with their own mind, their intellect, just by speculation. So that process itself is not good. Because the Vedanta Sutra, Veda means knowledge, and Anta means the end of knowledge. So Vedanta Sutra, the end of knowledge. What is the end of knowledge? The end of knowledge is to know Krishna, right? If you don't know Krishna, then you've not understood Vedanta. So the Mayavadi, these followers of Shankaracharya in Banaras, they were all studying Vedanta. But they were not understanding. they were trying to use their own mind to understand. But the trouble if we use our own, our mind is not pure, it's not perfect. It makes mistakes, right? We are conditioned souls. We have four defects, right? You know these defects? We make mistakes.
We are an illusion.
Cheating. And imperfect senses, right? So we are the conditioned soul. So with this nature, it's not possible for us to understand Vedanta Sutra. We have to understand Vedanta from the devotees, from the Lord Himself, not by our own mind. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He comes to teach us how to understand Vedanta. That we have to take the direct meaning, not just try to speculate. Just like the other day somebody showed me a book. I was in Bombay before I came here. Somebody showed me one book. And it was supposed to be about Krishna. It said the joy of Krishna. But then it was all speculation, all nonsense, what Krishna stealing the butter means. You know, and it has nothing to do with Krishna stealing butter, it has some other meaning, you know. They gave it all some meaning, you know. Just like some people read Bhagavad Gita and they say, oh, Krishna, he's like a doctor and Arjuna's a patient. You know, this is all speculation. And they say, Kurukshetra is the body. Where does it say Kurukshetra is the body? Kurukshetra is the battlefield, not the body, you know. So they do all these speculations, very dangerous, because then we won't understand the actual meaning. We have to understand the scripture's direct meaning, mukhya vritti, the direct meaning, not guna vritti, not just by our own speculation. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he talked with these Mayavadi sannyasis and they asked him, you know, why you're a Mayavadi sannyasi, you're also initiated in the Sankaracharya line. Why are you not studying Vedanta Sutra with us? So he said, my spiritual master said, I am a fool. Right? He said, I cannot understand Vedanta. My spiritual master told me I should chant Hare Krishna. Krishna mantra japadiya e sarva mantrasa. The chanting of the Hare Krishna, of Krishna mantra, that is the essence of all mantras. So just chant Hare Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went on to tell the Mayavadi sannyasis that I have full faith in the words of my spiritual master and I try to follow his instructions. I follow all his instructions. So this is interesting because the Mayavadi sannyasis, they don't have faith in anybody. You know, they are God themselves. They're Mayavadi. Mayavadi thinks I'm God. Right? They think I'm one with the Supreme. So they don't have faith in anyone other than their own self, their own limited intelligence. They don't have anyone to surrender to. They don't have anyone to take shelter of. The Lord Chaitanya was pointing out the defect, the problem with their thinking. See, so this verse which we're reading tonight is very important for us because it shows how Krishna relates with the devotee. That even if we're not educated, we're not understanding things, Krishna is in our heart. And if we have devotion, if we have that bhava for Krishna, you know, if we have that love for Krishna, then Krishna will reciprocate with us and He will help us to understand Him. He will give us the knowledge to understand these things. It doesn't take our own effort. It takes our own surrender to Krishna. We have to be devoted to Krishna. Then Krishna acts on the heart and He helps us to come to Him. So Srila Prabhupada explains here actually that a devotee doesn't even have to worry about material necessities, that Krishna provides everything by His grace. Now we should understand this properly. That doesn't mean you can just sit back and depend on Krishna. Yeah. Say, well, Krishna is going to provide. I just, you know, Krishna says here, and Prabhupada says here, you know, Krishna. So I'll just sit back and wait for Krishna to provide. Not like that. But Krishna does reciprocate with us as we surrender. He makes arrangements. But we have to have that desire to serve Krishna. A devotee does not become irresponsible. We do not give up. Just like Krishna doesn't tell Arjuna, oh, you just remember me, Arjuna, you don't need to fight. I'll win the war for you.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? He doesn't tell Arjuna like that. He tells Arjuna, you have to do it, Arjuna. Nimitra matra bhava savyasach. You become an instrument in my service. What we have to do is give up the attachment to the result of our work. Because in the material world, the problem why we get entangled is because we're very attached to the result. We have the desire to enjoy the result of work. But when we give up that attachment and when we surrender to the Lord, then the mind becomes peaceful. Then we take shelter of the Lord. Then Krishna reciprocates. And Krishna provides according to our qualification to receive. A devotee does not put demands on Krishna. We don't ask Krishna to provide, you know, in pure devotional service, we do not ask Krishna. We see, for example, in Bhagavad, we have devotees like Dhruva Maharaj. Well, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, there are four kinds of people who come to Him, right? Chaturvida bhajante mam jnana sukritino arjuna. Arto jignasur artati jnanita bharatashaba. Four kinds of people who surrender to Krishna. They're not pure devotees. They're not yet pure devotees, but they're devotees. They're all good people because they have come to Krishna. Some come in distress. Actually, a lot come in distress. Because the nature of the material world is a very distressing place. People are suffering now more than ever. You know, now we can see Dubai has, you know, has changed a lot. I came here first in 1978. You know, so I've seen a lot of, I can see a lot of changes in Dubai. But does it mean people are more happier now than they were before? Does it mean people are, you know, more peaceful in their minds than they were then? No. You know, the material, economic development, material progress doesn't solve the problems of anyone. It simply creates more problems. Simply makes our life more difficult. So people are in distress. There's more and more suicides than ever. There's every year, there's far more people kill themselves than are killed in wars over many, many years. The real part is people that kill themselves. It's not the wars. Why do they kill? Because they're in so much distress. They're so unhappy, so miserable. They can't bear to live in this. So, fortunate people, they come to Krishna in distress. They call out to Krishna to help. Other people come in need, in search of need. Well, a nice example of someone in distress is Gajendra, right?
Mm.
It's a famous example. Gajendra, the elephant, was in distress. Remembered Krishna, came to Krishna, came to the Lord. Then some people come in need. They need, you know, they have material desires, they want some money, they want some job, they want to get some more success in the material world. Srimad Bhagavatam, Dhruv Maharaj wanted a kingdom. So he, you know, went to the forest. He was lucky. He met Narad Muni. And Narad Muni guided him. And he got what he wanted. But afterwards he regretted it. He got it. He got his kingdom. But the Lord told him, you have to stay here in this material world. He regretted. So, in the same way, other people come in out of curiosity. They have, you know, they want to understand these. They want to know, is God, is there a God? If God is here, what's he like? What's his name? How do we know there's a God? They want to know something sometimes about what happens to us when we die. Where do we go? You know, people have these, they're curious, they have a lot of questions. And sometimes they read scriptures and then they have even more questions. They want to understand so many things. So, curious, a good person who is curious, he will also come to Krishna. Just like in Srimad Bhagavatam, there's the sages of Naimasharanya. They were all curious. They knew Kali Yuga is coming, the beginning of the age of Kali. What is going to happen? What is the world going to be like? What will become of us? What will we do? The Kali Yuga is so bad, so inauspicious. Everybody is condemned. And people become all irreligious and even they kill the cows. What will become of the world? So they had many questions. They went to the Naimisharanya forest and heard Srimad Bhagavatam to get all their questions answered. So they heard Krishna, they met Krishna through the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we said four kinds. There's one more kind. Those people in search of, who have knowledge, they're in knowledge, they also come to Krishna. Those in knowledge. Like the four Kumaras, they're Brahmagyanis, they have knowledge, they come to Krishna. So, these are all good people, they're not yet pure devotees, but they're good people, they'll come to Krishna. And once they come to Krishna, then they will become more, they will progress, they will advance by engaging in devotional service. So we were talking that, you know, how Krishna can maintain the devotee, can provide all the needs of the devotee. So this is the reciprocation between Krishna and Krishna's devotee. But a devotee does not want to get service from Krishna. A devotee wants to give service to Krishna. Because a devotee should think that Krishna has already given me so much, that he's providing so much, everything for me. If our body is healthy, we have air, water, everything is, who's giving all of these things? Who's making the arrangements for this body? This is all the grace of Krishna. So a devotee does not like to put demands on the Lord, because he thinks the Lord is so kind, he has already given me so much that I don't want to take service. We want to give service. Our duty is to serve the Lord, and as we serve the Lord serves the devotee. Just like the story of Sudama Brahman going to Krishna in Dwarka. He took a little bit of some rice, dried rice, you know, very old rice, and gave it to Krishna, and just gave one mouthful only. And because Krishna took that from the hand of Sudama, then the goddess of fortune reciprocated and gave so much to Sudama. But Sudama never asked Krishna. He never had the desire to get anything from Krishna. Krishna himself wanted to give for the devotee. So devotional service is like that. It's a loving relationship. That we want to give to Krishna. And the more we give our mind, the more we give our life to Krishna, the more Krishna is attracted by the devotion. Krishna doesn't need our offerings, right? He's not in need of our offerings. So we may offer our incense and our flowers, our coconuts and things to him. Krishna doesn't need them. Of course, we should offer them, but we shouldn't think Krishna is dependent on them. Because in the spiritual world, in the kingdom of Krishna, has goddesses of fortune. Unlimited, thousands, hundreds of thousands of goddesses of fortune. And they're all serving him. You know? So what is our tiny offerings? You know, when there's so many Lakshmis, so many goddesses of fortune, we're trying to get the blessings of one goddess of fortune, right? But Krishna's got lakhs of them all serving him. But still Krishna wants one thing from us. He wants that bhakti, that love. This is when we give that love, then Krishna reciprocates. He gives us the knowledge how to come to him, how to come closer and closer to him. So Prabhupada had the experience that he came to Krishna, he gave up everything to come to Krishna. You know, he had a home, he had a family, but then when he was old, he retired, business had finished and everything. Then he gave them up. He took shelter of Krishna. Krishna took everything away. His business failed. Business failed. Then the money was left, not much. Then the family not respecting also. So then he thought, I better go to Vrindavan. So he was in Vrindavan. And then he remembered the order of his guru that he should preach. So he thought, I should go to America and preach there. And he had only some few dollars in his pocket and only knew one person, and he went there. But Krishna provided, Krishna took care. And then because he sincerely tried to serve Krishna, Krishna gave him so many people to help him to preach Krishna consciousness. So, Krishna, you know, we cannot understand Krishna's plan. We should not try to understand Krishna by our own self. We should simply try to serve Krishna and to develop love for Krishna. How can we develop love for Krishna? First we have to hear about Krishna. We have to hear and chant regularly Krishna's name and study the philosophy and worship Krishna. Just like Lord Chaitanya said, Bolo Krishna, Vajo Krishna, Koro Krishna, Shiksha. Worship Krishna, chant the name of Krishna, and read the books about Krishna. This will help us to develop our love for Krishna. And by love, we will attract Krishna. Krishna is in the heart of the devotee. Who is in Krishna's heart?
Gopis.
The devotees. Yes, the devotees like the gopis. Yeah. Krishna says, I am in the hearts of my devotees, and my devotees are in my heart. This is the reciprocation, the love, the exchange between Krishna and Krishna's devotee. So this verse, very important verse here in Bhagavad Gita, describing the love, the loving relationship between the Lord and his devotee. And we can feel that when we serve Krishna, when we approach Krishna, when we sincerely, from the heart, we try to approach Krishna. You feel the love, you feel the exchange, you can feel Krishna help you. Sometimes you're in trouble, you're in a very difficult situation, you don't know what to do, and just call out to Krishna, and then Krishna helps. Just like Draupadi, you know, when she was lost in the gambling match and her husband couldn't save her and they were ripping off her sari, she had nobody. She just had to turn to Krishna. Or Draupadi, another time, Draupadi was feeding her husband and they finished everything, and then Durvasa came with all his followers, right? And they came and they wanted food, so they went to take bath, and then Draupadi's got her pot, but they'd already taken food. So then Krishna came running from Dwarka. Krishna came running from Dwarka, you know, he came felt running off, and he's shouting out to Draupadi, give me something to eat, just give me something. I haven't got any, there's nothing, what am I going to give you, you know? And then she saw there's some leaf there on that pot that, you know, they hadn't removed. And she offered that leaf to Krishna, just give me that, says Krishna. And he took that leaf, and then he took some water, and then he belched. Satisfied. And then Durvasa and all the people, how will we take food? You know, they went away. So like this, you see, there's so many examples how Krishna shows, how Krishna helps the devotees, and we can experience this every day if we just remember Krishna, take shelter of Krishna. We have to practice taking shelter, bringing our mind, putting our mind on Krishna, and we will see how our life changes, how we become peaceful, how we become satisfied, and our life becomes meaningful by having a relationship with Krishna. Are there any questions? Any comment or question?
Four Kumaras, they belong to 12 Mahajans, and these four Kumaras, these 12 Mahajans are they're also in pure platform, or still they are not attained absolute purity what Krishna is expecting, because he mentioned that the four Kumaras in terms of they're searching knowledge, so still they are not.
Well, yeah, but their search of knowledge led to them becoming devotees, right? Because they were in search of knowledge. Ones who are in knowledge, they are the best. Krishna explains, the one in knowledge is the best. The other people, you know, they could go away. The curious person, you know, he may be curious for a while. After a while, say, okay, no more questions. Bye bye. Somebody else comes, you know. I remember there was one boy, he became a devotee. He had lost his job, and then became a devotee, and then somebody offered him a job. So then he left again. After he became a devotee, somebody said, hey, I can help you, I can get you a job. So then he left. And somebody else was in distress. Somebody else, you know, he had a quarrel with the wife or the girlfriend or something, and he was upset. He came to the temple, and then after a few days, then he said, okay, you know, distress is all forgotten, you know, go back, like that. But the one in knowledge, if one is in knowledge, then he's steady, he's not going to forget, he's not going to go, can never give up Krishna, can never give up Krishna consciousness. So four Kumaras, they're in the best position. And when they went to Vaikuntha and then saw the Lord and smelled the aroma, the tulsi, then they became devotees.
This Ramakrishna mission and the Ramakrishna Dharma mission, they are what? They are the impersonalists or they are Mayavadis?
They are Mayavadis.
They are Mayavadis.
Yeah. Because he, you know, he claims, you know, that all the incarnations of the God are the same, you know, Jesus and everything, you know, they all appear in him, and he's that, he's the same as them, you know, puts himself on the same level as all these, yeah. Shiva is almost Vishnu. The difference between Vishnu and Shiva is like milk and yogurt. Milk can be made into yogurt, but yogurt doesn't become milk. So Vishnu becomes Shiva, but Shiva doesn't become Vishnu. That's the relationship. Vishnu and Krishna are the same. You see, Vishnu is very just like Krishna. But Shiva is like yoga, comes from Vishnu. Shiva is, we say, Vaishnavam Yata Shambhu. Shambhu is, Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee. He's a Vaishnava. And he has his own disciplic succession, a Vaishnava Parampara. There are four bona fide paramparas. One comes from the four Kumaras. They have that Nimbarka Sampradaya. And Lord Shiva has his Sampradaya. It's Vishnu Swami. Present. It begins from Vishnu Swami. Vishnu Swami. And then we are in the Brahma Madhva Sampradaya. And the other one is the Sri Sampradaya, Ramanuja, from Lakshmi. These are the four bona fide Vaishnava Sampradayas. So Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee. He is, he has, he does service for the Lord in the creation, maintenance and destruction. People think Shiva just destroys the universe, but he doesn't just destroy, he also does work during the creation of the universe. When the Mahavishnu begins the creation, he glances over matter and impregnates the living entities, and that glance is carried by Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva also maintains by sometimes coming to kill demons who are disturbing the universe. So Lord Shiva is, you know, he's a very great personality. And he is very merciful, because he gives his mercy to very fallen people, to people who are much in the association of the mode of ignorance, tamagun. He gives mercy to them.
These are all doing by the instruction of Lord Sri Krishna.
It's his duty. He's a guna avatar. The guna avatar. There are three gunas, you know, the tamagun, rajagun, sattvagun. So Shiva, Brahma and Vishnu, they're in charge of the gunas, the three gunas in the material world. But that's in the material world, you see. But Lord Shiva also has a planet in the spiritual world, Sada Shiva. There is Sada Shiva in the spiritual world.
And
No, he's not in tamaguna at all, no. But he's in contact with tamaguna. He's a guna avatar. He has jurisdiction over the tamaguna. And he gives mercy. He helps these people in tamaguna. Gives them his association. Benefits them. Generally, he's in the graveyard, you know, like that. You know, these places, you know, there's an influence of tamaguna there. But Lord Shiva, he associates with them, but he's not in tamagun himself. But because he has to associate with that, so it has some effect.
I think there are two Shivas, one Sadashiva and Lord Shiva, they are same?
No, they're not the same. I said Sadashiva is in the spiritual world.
Oh, there is one more Shiva, okay.
There's 12 Rudras.
Okay.
In the material world. Rudra is born from Brahma. So Lord Shiva, you know, he comes in the material world, has some function, some work here.
Lord Shiva is then one of the Rudras, Maharaj?
No.
12 Rudras.
Yeah, 12 Rudras. You look in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, you'll get the names of the 12 Rudras.
Maharaj, it is mentioned that the Lord Buddha has actually come. He's also an incarnation of Lord Krishna.
Yeah.
And this same Buddha, whom we know as Siddhartha, now recently in this Kali Yuga has been born, or some other Buddha is here? This Buddha, same whom we know now, who has actually established this Buddhism, is the same Buddha or some other Buddha?
Yeah, there are different Buddhas. There are different Buddhas. The one mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, where's his birthplace? Gautam Buddha is the.
It is Siddhartha.
It is Siddhartha, is it?
Yes, who has established his Buddhism now.
So he's not the one mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Yeah, there are different Buddhas, many Buddhas.
Then which Buddha came after Shankaracharya, before Shankaracharya? That is different Buddha, not this Buddha.
Yeah, so that's the Buddha who stopped
all
the kill killing. Yeah. But then there's these other Buddhas who come to teach the Nirvana. The Buddha, Siddhartha, is the one teaching this. Vaidism. So these people are all atheists. And they're opposed to the Vedas. Shankaracharya, Lord Shiva comes in the Kali Yuga as Shankaracharya. He comes, he has that's another part of his mercy, because as Shankaracharya, he comes to bring back the Vedas and to defeat Buddhism and to reintroduce the Varnashram system. Because before, with the time of Buddha, the Varnashram was finished, there were no more Brahminical culture. But then Shankaracharya came and he brought back the Vedas and he re-established the Varnashram, good Brahmanas. So this was all work of Lord Shiva coming as Shankaracharya. Very great, you know. I mean, he was only in this world till 32. So he's still so young, you know, that he did so much in such a short time.
Forty-eight years.
He took sannyas when he was 24, and then 6 years traveling around around India. And the rest of the time in Jagannath Puri.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's last day, six mentioned, one is Swata Gopinath in the deity, and other in the sea also. So different, I agree.
Well, there are different opinions. There are different. Some say he entered into Jagannath, some say he entered in Swata Gopinath.
In the sea also,
there are different opinions. But for devotees, you know, we don't like to hear these verses. It's too painful to think about the disappearance of the Lord. That's not a pleasant topic, so it's not discussed very often, very rarely mentioned. But yeah, if you go to Swata Gopinath temple there, they show there's a crack on the leg of the deity, and they see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered there.
Like that, there is a crack in the Guruvayur temple also. As we mentioned about Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya was traveling on the air on his own.
Vishnu Naradamuni.
Then he got the message from the Tirupati that his mother expired. So he was coming on top of Guruvayur temple. So Guruvayur Krishna pulled him. Then he fell down there, there is a crack on the two feet. Isn't it?
No, it's Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya is not respected, Guru. Respected, not the mother's day.
he was traveling via Guruvayur and he disrespected Lord Guruvayurappan. So he was traveling and suddenly he fell down from the air. And still there is, you know, we can, they have made it a crack there.